RadioInfluence.com.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the Monday edition of the Dark to Light podcast with
Frankie Val on the drums and
Beans. We're back.
Yes, yes. What a break that was.
Yeah, we've never done that before, right?
No, no, felt odd. You know, before we do anything, I got to thank everybody. You know, we had the extravaganza was weeks ago at this point. I can't believe it's over that long ago. And, you know, we got home and then my cousin Sherry came over and delivered something to me. Mm-hmm. And it was a wonderful present, a card and an atlas. And an address book of all the wonderful people that was at the event there. And I got to say, thank you all so much. It was a I'm sure you got one, too, Tracy. I got this late, so I can't wait to send everybody Christmas cards. But
oh, yeah, I'm so excited now that I'm getting settled in to like go. I looked through everything, but I'm like, I have a plan. You are all in for a surprise.
Yeah, I'm so appreciative. It was a wonderful summer memory. And and yeah, I just wanted to get that out of the way because you probably have been wondering if I cared or anything.
I knew that you didn't have it yet, so that wasn't a worry for me personally.
No, I was so, and Laura, we were both so taken aback. It was so nice. So thank you all again.
Well, I got that in person, and so I got to cry and run around and hug everybody while crying.
Yes.
Crying my eyes out at how amazing people are. And
I wish I was able to blubber all over people, too.
You know, the thing is, too, is that I had Chad, who you talked to on the podcast. He came by one night during the extravaganza and he sat and we all had like this around the fire sort of pep, you know, talk. And he's like, that invigorated me so much, just knowing that there are that many people that are so dedicated to fixing things. And it's true. If you get people together and you start sitting with them and talking with them, there's a lot of positive things happening. So,
yes, yes.
Yep.
The whole key is to break that atmosphere of isolation, because when you're isolated and all you really have is to stare the beast in the face alone, you really do believe that you are alone. And it's part of the whole scheme there. It really is. They have to project dominance. And there's plenty to be interested in. And then again, we've been off air now for a week and a half. So where the hell are we even going to start to get caught up?
Oh, goodness. Trust me. I've been thinking about that for days. I was dying to do it. It wouldn't have mattered for Friday because the audit hearing didn't start until after anyway. After we would have been off air. But I guess we could start with the Arizona audit because that's been a source of consternation for everybody.
Consternation. Which is, of course, like consternation.
And like, honestly, I think Jovan Pulitzer had a meme that spelled it out just perfectly. Because obviously, like, a leaked report came out and it wasn't the actual report. So they ran to town with this leaked report that was leaked from the Secretary of State's office and went crazy with it, you know, saying like, oh, look, the vote counts matched. There is no fraud. And so Jovan had put out a meme that I'm looking for right now in my messages. It says, son, this is the son speaking. Hey, dad, some friends are coming over tonight. Can I get some money for some snacks? And then the dad says, sure, here's $15. And he hands him 12 $1 bills and 3 Monopoly dollar bills. And the son goes, well, that's only $12. And then the dad goes, are you sure? Just recount it. And the son goes, okay, I recounted. There's still $12. The rest is Monopoly money. And then the dad goes, well, really? You're not recounting. You're auditing. You see?
Yeah,
because
exactly.
Because it doesn't matter, you know, with the number of duplicate, there were more duplicate ballots than there were ballots. And even if it's only, let's just pretend it's only 500 of them. Oh, well, that's only 500. That's 500 votes in that one. Like, that's not a proper number. But I'm just saying, like, to downgrade any bit of it because it's only, this is one county. Granted, it's a very large county as compared to the United States of America's counties. But it's one county in one state. One. Mm-hmm. So, you know, there were, I thought personally that Dr. Shiva's analysis or Dr. Shiva's work was the most telling.
It was brilliant.
Yeah, because of how they did this analysis. So they basically analyzed ballot envelopes, which they just received recently from Maricopa County. And they looked at the ballot envelopes and they looked at what was in the signature boxes and what was in the name boxes. And they came up with criteria to like classify different sections of that ballot envelope. So in the signature box, if you had a full signature, it was a signed ballot. If you just had like, you know, a little mark in there, it was called a scribble. And then if it was blank, it was blank. And, you know, having the sensitivity for, like, they gave so much leeway on this. So it was like, if there was anything between like 0.1% and 1% identified in that box, it was counted. Whereas in a real life scenario, that would not have been considered a signature. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, absolutely.
So his thing, his analysis identified more than enough votes for the margin of victory. And everybody's like, well, how many more? Like, I'm not understanding the legacy media reporting about how it proved that Biden got 46,000 more votes. Like, I don't know what the they're talking about. That makes absolutely zero sense.
As I said, as we were getting closer and closer, a lot of people were on that call, like those press calls and stuff, and got a lot of these numbers up front about the 57,000, what was coming. And I even said to myself, you know, the Rachel Maddow and her crew, they're going to have to invent new ways to lie about this. And they pretty much, I don't know if it's a new way. It's just, they just lie or they laugh and they cover as little as they can. And it's, I don't know. Now here's the rub for me. And it's speaking of Dr. Shiva, I think one of the most profound things he did was create those two heat maps.
Yeah.
You know the ones I'm talking about, the greens and the reds?
Yep.
And for those of you who did not see this, he created two heat maps that he put side by side. And it's pretty much, the first one was a grid, and it consists of green and red blocks. And in the first grid, it showed the last 4 weeks leading up to Election Day. And it showed that 95% of all of the signatures that came in were legible and they were able to be, confirmed and understood properly. And only 5% were illegible. Mm-hmm. But the 4 days after Election Day, of course, which was a very important day across the entire union for whoever was trying to whittle away Donald Trump's lead and turn it into a deficit, the 4 days after in Arizona, it was completely flipped around. 95% of the signatures were illegible, and only 5% were legible. And I love the tongue in cheek little comments about, I'm sure that there's a perfectly reasonable explanation for this, but yep. You know, so yeah, you're right about Dr. Shiva, and of course he was one of the people who's gotten maligned by people like Rachel Maddow, chuckled about. Because he claims he's the inventor of email.
But he is the inventor of email.
These are incredibly, incredibly corrupt, manipulative, and evil people.
So to that point, basically people were saying on Friday, like, well, how do we know if Trump won or not? That was never the point. It was never to see who voted for what the vote. That's not what this was about. This was about trying to figure out if there were fraudulent or unacceptable votes in the Maricopa County election. There were. It puts the election in doubt completely, should be decertified. It would never should have been certified in the first place, especially because of the sheer differences in what was reported versus what Dr. Shiva found, right? And so that's it. I mean, it should never have been a certified election. Like, what you do after that is a different story. Like, do you have the election over again? Do you go to the model where every state votes, which is what they're advocating for now? You know, there's a campaign across the state and across the country right now. Senators from each state are stepping up and saying, hold on a second. You know, we need to decertify. What's that? We need to decertify this election. We can't have this stand. And if you're hearing it, do you hear an echo?
No, I hear a little bit of your room, but that's all.
Okay. Because I don't have an area rug down in here yet. So
it's, no, it's just fine. It sounds okay. Fine to me.
All right. I understand everybody wants to know how many votes Trump actually got. I get it. At this point, there's really no good way to tell. There's no good way to tell. It's a show. The other one that really got me, it wasn't so much the cyber ninjas portion of things, even though there's a ton in there. And the Shiva report, by the way, is 99 pages long. I'm about, I don't know, a third of the way through it. I know that Wendy did a video over the weekend explaining some of the main points. I had hoped to do that, but I just got too busy. But I'm going to read all this today. We're going to have at Uncover DC, Frank, detailed articles on each of these that people can, you know, just focus and drill down on each one of these sections. But, you know, the cyber ninjas aside for a minute, the other guy from Cypher, he, I think, on the security end of the IT, we were in the chat together. We were in a text message together when this happened. And they announced that they, you know, these log files were deleted. This script was run. And we don't have any good way of knowing who did this, except we were
camera.
Except
the candid camera that we had set up.
We had access to security footage from the location, and we know who it is who did this, and we forward that information along to the Attorney General and to the Senate. Now, what that, I don't, everybody was like, oh, what's the Attorney General going to do? He's not going to do anything. He already proved he's going to do things by saying he was going to fine the Maricopa County Board of Supervisors and basically strip their funding, their state funding from them until they provided the routers, which would have been catastrophic for them. So now they came to some sort of an agreement where they're going to provide all that stuff and the Splunk logs and everything else. I will be honest with you. I would be shocked if those logs still existed or still contained what was needed to be able to identify anything. I would be absolutely shocked, but you never know. You never know. And they basically caught this person on camera doing these actions, deleting these things. And I do believe the AG in Arizona came out with a statement before the audit report was released to the public. And the hearing happened. And he said, we will hold people accountable to the fullest extent of the law. And there were many crimes committed here. And Jovan and Patrick are both saying, like, we had a call where we were talking, like, you would, in Arizona right now, as it stands, you do not have an elected government. Meaning, the people representing you were not fairly elected. So you basically are in a banana republic right now. With representatives that you do not actually literally represent you.
Yep.
And I don't know. I think
There's one thing that it kept on. Obviously, have to deal with the. There are the men and women in the arena, as Teddy Roosevelt would had talked about. The man in the arena, the people who are down there and fighting like hell, trying to sometimes do the impossible, and then there are those who sit back and cross their arms and go, huh, nothing's going to happen.
Yeah.
Well, or the best one, it's all a distraction. Well, let me tell you something. I had somebody say, Frank, it's all a distraction.
From what?
While the Arizona thing was going on, over 100 Republicans voted in favor of red flag laws in D.C. And I said, and everybody's got to realize this, and I'm going to drive this home on my 7 o'clock show here tonight. The only distraction is thinking that prioritizing the federal government is the way out of this. Arizona taking care of some, everybody watching Arizona is not a fix for the country. It's a fix for Arizona. And if everybody does what Arizona is doing, then in turn, the union at large can get a little bit more tenable. And it's not only just the fact that people in this state have taken matters into their own hands to understand just how badly they are getting screwed, but it's also incumbent upon states like Arizona to start defying the federal government. The distraction is thinking that we only have so much time to win back the presidency and the Congress. We need to take the states very seriously and the constitutional powers they have to nullify the federal government. It's the only option we have. There is no repairing the federal government. That is the distraction. So for everybody saying, why are you paying attention to Arizona when red flag laws are being signed or are being voted on in D.C.? So D.C.'s lost. We know that they're all the evil slums.
Well, speaking of D.C. and the red flag laws, now that you brought that up, Matt Gaetz voted yes on that, right? And Wendy Rogers called him out.
Crenshaw did too, no?
Yeah, I believe so.
And so did that Cawthorn. I think
Madison Cawthorn did. Yes. So they called him out. And this morning, Matt Gaetz had tweeted back to her saying that I'm trying to find it here, that it was actually, he said it was a staffing error and the final bill won't have that in it, along with some other things. Like, how, I don't understand, like the draft for females, right? I was on Twitter looking at this today, but I can't find it now. But Matt Gaetz basically, let me see if I can just go to Twitter and look at Matt Gaetz's account and see. But basically, he was blaming it on a staffer why he voted yes on something with this in it. You can't make mistakes like that, dude. What the hell? Like, this is why at AmpFest, which is on October 7th, by the way, this is why, for some odd reason, every time I'm their official correspondent and I go there and I do all their interviews and stuff for them. Uh-huh. Every single year, Matt Gaetz has, like, there's been something that has happened where I, working for AMP, cannot interview Matt Gaetz. And I don't understand it. I've asked about this. His staffers are absolutely wonderful. I've met them all. They talk to me. There's no weirdness. As a matter of fact, one of them came up to me. I was at a small function in Florida around CPAC time, and one of the staffers came up to me and gave me a big hug and said, I'm so sorry about your house. We heard about that. That's terrible. Beautiful people. I don't understand why I can't get this man to sit down with me for an interview. I don't get it. Anyway, he said this. Hold on. Where is it? Come on, dude. Oh, here it is. The red flag inclusion was a staff error. Both sides agree it's coming out. Drafting women is a terrible idea, and it is coming out too. Tons of good in this bill to win great power competition and end forever wars. Good America First policy. Final bill won't have these poison pills. But the problem is, Frank, that they're constantly missing the poison pills. And it's people start to wonder if it's on purpose or not.
Of course. Whether it's on purpose for some people. I mean, the reason why these things are made in such huge, huge ways, not only are they compiled into gigantic bills that should never, ever be put together. They should be voted on one at a time. Yep. But then that would keep people, congressmen and women, tied up in votes, in
you
debate.
You mean working?
They would be working, and when I say working, they would be working on legislation. They would be tied up. They would understand, oh, we can't do all this. There's not even enough time to do all this stuff. And then, of course, it would take away from their working over the media constantly. That's the real work that they love doing, crying for the cameras. And so not only are all of these things tied together in ways that are so obscene, if you think about it, because it takes away the real functionality of the legislative branch, but they already write all of this stuff with tortured language. So not only is it just so much volume to get through, but it's written in this doublespeak that sometimes maybe staffers and whoever the hell is supposed to be compiling or digesting these bills can actually miss stuff.
I don't think people realize just how important or just what staffers do. It's legit everything. Staffers are like the most crucial part of your representative, and you don't elect those people. Remember that. But they're reading bills, they're writing bills, they're crafting policy, they're much more important than most people realize in terms of what a representative or a senator does.
Hmm.
I know this. Hold on. Anyway, so, this audit bill, everybody, like I said on Friday, don't read, even though we did an absolutely stellar breakdown of this at a very high level, and now we're going to drill down into it. I said, don't count on people to tell you what's in this. It's available for you. You should look at it. You should take and carve out some time to read it yourself and understand it. You know, because everybody's gonna have their own spin here for the most part. Like, you know, look what Newsmax did. I mean, they're just, and Fox, people were complaining about Fox also. I'm like, why are you still listening to Fox News? Like, I don't understand that.
Yeah.
At all. But now it's what happens now, right? What is the Attorney General going to do? Are we going to get a notification now? And if that they're going to be doing a, you know, large scale investigation into what happened here. And then the other thing that I'm just going to say this, guys, I'm shocked about this. It's a major, major, major portion of what's going on here. And nobody's really paying attention to it. The paper used on the ballots.
Is this with the whole, like, how it was printed, the layering and stuff?
Yeah, it's a big deal because you can have, you know, 1.6 million paper ballots, but if they're printed on the wrong paper and they're not read properly, what the frig's the difference if the number matches at the end? So I'm surprised there wasn't more on that. I think it's coming. And I also think that there will be more on, you know, obviously the technical aspect of things. And the funny thing is that this fraud has been so multifaceted. Like, you know, there's the people that only focus on the machine fraud. Then there's the people that only focus on the, you know, hacking portion of things, if that's possible. Then there's the people that are focused on, you know, dead people voting and illegality. Like, our elections are a complete shit show in this country.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And I'm glad you brought that up, because that's the other thing that came up for me. For months and months, so many of us would talk about, you know, Dominion, and the Kraken, release the Kraken. But when you realize that I don't even know how many facets they are. It's such a shit show. As you said, how many thousands came from this? How many thousands came from that? There's so many schemes at once.
Yep.
And whether or not it's just the natural chaos that is encouraged inside of these completely unaccountable programs, or if it's people actually working the strings, which has to be a lot of both, man, oh man, Tracy, it's so many things. You can't assign this to one particular plan.
No, and that's a problem in general. It's a problem. I'm so sick of hearing the idiots on the other side say, oh, you're disenfranchising people and you this and you, hello. Like, I don't know. It's our elections, guys. Like, can we as people just get together? Like, for example, how they got together to protest in Florida. I'm sorry, in Atlanta on Friday, the anti-capitalist BLM group met with the conservative group to protest mandatory vaccines on people in front of CDC on Friday.
Hell yeah. Yep. Yes, indeed.
They said, we'll join hands with anyone who wants to protest against this nonsense. And we all said, oh, the conservatives said, really? Okay, let's do it. That's the biggest fear they have. Holy Nicki Minaj.
I would do anything, I would really do anything to make inroads with people. You know the guy, I think his name is Daryl, I forget his last name, Daryl something. I have to go look him up again.
Strawberry?
No, no, but you know him because this is a very well-known story. He's the black man that has spent most of his life now at this point befriending members of the KKK. Whatever's left at this point, and has taken them away from that life just through befriending them. He's actually started a collection of all the hoods that people have given up on and just turned their lives around and left, you know, their misunderstandings and their hate, their prejudices in the past behind. We need something like that at this point.
Well, vaccines are doing it.
It's serious. But, you know, if vaccines are at least breaking the window. If we can show people who have been all different types of demographic groups, it's not just broken down in racial ways, but if we can show people now as we're all starting to feel the squeeze that we knew it was going to be a collective squeeze once the real mask was taken off. They only need the wedge issues so far as they need to pretend to have people's consent to do this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But if we can now use this broken window to reach in, offer a hand and say, listen, I know we don't see eye to eye, but let's talk about this one issue. And if we can see eye to eye on that, then they got to know. It has to be a way to show them that everything that you feel is working against you is because of the system. And we do not, and we are on the same page. You just don't know that we're trying to reach the same ends. You don't know it.
Yeah.
It's just you're advocating for more of what's sucky. They just don't understand that.
They just don't get
yet.
It. Exactly. And yes. Yes. And they're coming to know it really quickly. Like I was just reading an article this morning that Gigi sent me about New York, Frank. First of all, a judge stepped in with a temporary injunction on the mandatory vaccine policy for teachers. So what's happening right now is that they are starting to experience these shortages all over the place where they're bringing in, you know, de Blasio says, I have thousands of fully vaccinated substitutes to come in and take these people's places because
Well, we know about the teaching standards, so God knows. Now, forget about that. What about the medical workers? They think there's going to be a shortage there.
There already is a shortage there. They're bringing in traveling nurses that are costing them like $5,000 and $6,000 more per day per nurse than
they're deputizing doctors. And the worst thing is that this stupid whammon governor that we have over here.
Oh,
now,
Lord in heaven. She's bad.
Now you understand why. But for her to have the nerve, the gall to say, you know, this is completely avoidable. Yeah, it is completely avoidable. You did this. But of course, when she speaks on it, she's saying it's completely avoidable. All you need to do is accept the Eucharist. Just take our Eucharist.
Yeah, well, she came out over the weekend and said the State Department of Labor has issued guidance that workers who are terminated because of a refusal to receive a vaccine are not eligible for unemployment without a doctor's approval for a medical exemption. So if you wanted to unpack that statement in and of itself, it's effed. Because if somebody can get a medical exemption, then that should be okay for their work too. You see what I'm saying?
Yep.
Like, you shouldn't be forced to not be able to have employment because you medically cannot accept a vaccine that is causing all kinds of issues for so many people around the world. I mean, we could just focus on the tennis issue right now that, you know, whatever. But yeah.
How can with everything that's happened? Well, I know that nobody's going to take a look at the splits between Israel and India. But what about the really profound circumstances with the two FDA resignations?
Well,
that should be enough right there to say, I'm not taking this stuff. Did you read this?
And they went against the CDC, went against those recommendations completely. And did you hear our friend, whatever her name is, former Planned Parenthood, Biatch Wen? Is that her last name? Wen?
Leanna Wen.
Yeah. She came out. And she made some weird ass cockamamie statement. I'm looking for it now. It's hold on. I'm going to pause it real quick. All right. I think I found it, Frank. Here we go. This was just the other day.
Those who are vaccinated, we now know based on the CDC, they are now able, but with the Delta variant, because they carry so much more virus, they could transmit it to their unvaccinated family members. And so I, for example, even though I'm fully vaccinated, mm-hmm. my children are not because they're too young to be vaccinated. So I need to be now careful for my children because of all the unvaccinated people around us.
What? What?
Well, listen, she's an agent of the most unspeakable evil, as I have said many times before about this homunculus looking creature. I feel bad for her children, but this is the exact psychological profile of the kind of people who are passing Joseph Mengele the scalpel. I will never back down on that one. This is a completely, completely psychopathic person.
She's crazy. And yes, then hold on. UK funeral director blows the whistle on here.
I have this guy slated for an interview on Wednesday.
If you what are you saying now?
Whoops, sorry.
Anything.
John O'Looney?
John O'Looney. I have to do a pre-record with him. Do you want me to see if I can get him for this show instead?
Well, I mean, yeah.
Maybe I can do it because I have him for 2 p.m. because he's in the UK. Maybe I can ask him for morning. I'll ask him.
We'll see. I have Friday. We have Dr. Zelenko on the show.
I'm gonna email him. I'm going to ask him if he wants to. Yeah.
Yeah. See if he'll come on with us. And I mean, I don't know if you need to do it instead. You can just air it on your show.
I would air it either way. But I already have a ton of notes, ton of questions I've written down. So I'll just share them with you. Who knows? He may not be able to do earlier, but because it's in the middle of a work day, he has funerals to attend to.
Well, let me play a little bit of this because I haven't listened to this yet, but I know the guy. So here.
Chains are rolling out, brother. What are you saying this year?
So 2020 finished kind of November, December time, and they were widely advertising that they were going to begin vaccinations on January the 6th locally. It was rolled out in different areas at different times in different parts of the world, but we were all told the lifesaver was coming in January. And I couldn't believe it, really, because this pandemic guy, after a number of months, he actually, it's amazing how quickly you get to know someone, even with a 30-second chat once a week, and it would be, hi, John, how are you doing? Everything good? Yeah, it's still really quiet. And he actually admitted to me, he said, I don't honestly know why I'm doing this job. He said, because there are no COVID deaths and everyone's saying the same thing. That's from the guy that was speaking to all of the funeral directors locally. You know, you tell me, that guy said that to me personally. So he was being sincere. And shortly after they began vaccinating, I was notified he'd no longer be calling. So clearly, there's no need for the pandemic guy to record COVID deaths now.
Mm. And then he gets...
He got even more... I mean, there's a lot of people who have made some sad predictions about where this is all going. He's in the camp of saying that near 100% of the people who have gotten these shots are going to be dead within 5 years.
Jeez.
I mean, so I don't, but that's something I want to ask him about because I don't believe that.
I don't know that that would be God. That would be.
No. First of all, even if that was your plan to start culling the herd here, 100% lethality rate is just stupid. That's just stupid strategy. There's no plausible, there's no doubt. I mean, you have to have some kind of doubt and you have to be able to cover your tracks somehow. So even from a depopulation theory standpoint, I don't see how that would help anybody who's even behind the scenes. So I want to ask him things like that because obviously he's talking to other people. He's on the tail end of healthcare. He's after when healthcare can no longer help. What are people saying? And I mean, out of the UK,
you know,
what?
I'm just thinking if you can't get him for the podcast, I might just take your interview and make it a podcast.
Well, or if you want to get on the call with me at 2 p.m., we can do a joint. We can just record something special later on that day.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll talk about it, but keep going. Sorry.
But have you heard about the, now I don't know the specifics about this, but especially in the UK, there's been so many reports of the administering of this pretty much end of life drug called midazolam.
No, I haven't heard about this. This is new to me.
It's pretty much like a euthanasia drug that the reports are, or at least the rumors are, that this has been being administered to people who aren't even really sick or deathly ill or anything like that. That they really are just killing people. That I think it was John O'Looney who said that a high number of the people who have been coming into his funeral home are murder victims. I mean, this is how profound the language he's been using.
Well, he knows. So I mean, he knows better than anybody, right?
I guess so. I mean, especially if you are in that end of, like I said, you're that in that end of the healthcare system where you're actually just in a funeral operator. I mean, you need to understand who's coming in. You have to understand if they had something that can really harm people who are working on their bodies. And I'd have to imagine there's some disclosure about what was going on there. And then along the way, you have to make friends with people in the hospital systems who are going to trust you with things that they see or suspect. Jeez, it's like what you're talking about with the election before, Tracy. God knows how many levels of this there really are.
Yeah. I know. It's pretty crazy.
Yeah, man.
Why do I have 18 text messages right now? That's my question for everybody. Everyone out there, why? Yeah, so this tennis star that I was talking about, Jeremy Chardy, he's speaking out against vaccines because he's experiencing what he describes as violent, near paralyzing pains across his body since taking it, warning there is no hindsight once people have received the treatment. 34 years old, thinks that he might have to retire because of this. Because why? Because all these idiots are trying to force people into getting the shot in every different way. I mean, Madison.
I heard that he says he can't play anymore.
Yeah, he's saying he needs to. Yeah. Hey, Madison Cawthorn released something on Instagram about his vote for the red flag laws because he's taken a lot of shit.
What's
rightfully
he
so. You want to listen to it?
Sure.
Hey everyone, Madison Cawthorn here. Wanted to make a really quick video concisely responding to these criticisms of people believing that I support red flag laws. One that is completely false. I believe the Second Amendment was written so that we can have a well-armed citizenry, because as soon as we give up our weapons, we are no longer citizens, but we're subjects. The Second Amendment was written...
But you voted for it. Let's see what he says.
If we ever needed to stop tyranny, we could do so. That is what it's for, clear and simple. I am trying to abolish the NFA, trying to work on this Hearings Protections Act, trying to make sure SBR is taking off the NFA first thing as fast as I possibly can. And then I want to abolish the NFA in totality later as soon as we gain the majority. But the reason I had to take a vote yesterday, which is one that is the National Defense Authorization Act, which is one that is used to actually pay for our military, give them a pay raise, all of these things. The reason I had to vote for it yesterday, and let me explain it, that when just because it passed in this first iteration does not mean that this is going into law. It has to go through this system, what's called taking it to conference, and it has to go through the Senate, then we have to vote on it again. So this was not actually passing this into law. There's a lot of minutiae behind the scenes of how Washington works with this. So I promise you, this red flag bullshit is not going into law. The reason we had to vote for this is because so many of our active duty military who are refusing to take the vaccine are being dishonorably discharged. And that basically makes them a felon in our society. And that is something that I think is just absolutely wrong and incorrect. Unfortunately, we had a stolen election, so therefore Joe Biden is in command of our military, and he's trying to force all of these vaccines down the throats of our military. And so the reason we had to vote for this and get it through quickly is so that it would prohibit people who decline to take the vaccine in the military from being dishonorably discharged. Now, let me explain to you the red flag portion of that. So that was a portion that, yes, it is in that bill, but then it went going into conference. I've spoken to people on the Senate side, and I know for a fact this will not go into law. This part will be stripped out of it. If it is not in it, I will absolutely burn it to the ground. That is impossible, and I'll make sure it does not pass through the House. So I just want to let you all know I am not betrayed anybody in the Second Amendment community. I promise I will always have your back. I will be armed every single day. I believe that we should be armed just as equipped.
Well, maybe he should have explained that before he voted on it.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I get it. That's how politics works. All this kind of crap happens. But honestly, maybe you should have said, look, guys, I'm about to vote on something. I don't want to vote on it, but this is why.
You know what? I don't even care anymore about one thing or another. The NDAA, if anybody loves this country, needs to be. I don't care.
Look, you're preaching to the choir. One of the first things I did as an activist was try and destroy the NDAA, because
they hold that over your head. But you know, we have to pay our military, and they deserve pay raises. And like, you know what? You know what? I have military in my family. I have more and more friends that are currently serving and have retired. I know so many people in military now. There's no lack of respect there. The fact is, once again, what are you attaching this stuff to? What does the NDA do on the whole? And you know what? How's our military being used? We have a southern border that has always been wide open for generations now, while we have 35,000 U.S. troops jerking each other off in Germany. You know, what the hell are we doing? I don't care about any. It's not disrespect of the average GI. to say that this is bullshit and the NDAA is just like any other continuing resolution that needs to be broken apart. So, you know, and the red flag stuff is just one more reason not to vote for the NDAA.
I mean, it's the most horrible bill or thing. I don't even know if you call it a bill.
You know who knows that better than ever is the 500 or so people who are locked up since January 6th.
Yeah.
Indefinite detention. It's happening right before our eyes. You know, I know that September 18th FBI rally was laughable on the face
of
it.
Do you want to hear a crazy story?
What?
You know the woman that was up there talking a lot of the time that day?
I didn't really see much of the... No, I don't know.
So Matt Brainerd had his rally, and then there was a woman with him who started her own sort of a foundation or organization to save these people, to help them. She was the one who broke the story that other woman might have been assaulted by police, and that's what caused her death that day. Anyway, her name's Kara, and this is the weirdest thing ever. So when I went to school at SUNY Albany, I went to college, she happened to have been my freshman year roommate at school.
Really?
Yes. She was also...
And you're just putting that together now?
No, I didn't know she was doing this. Like, we've, like, briefly kept in touch over the years. Like, we haven't really, like, stayed in touch, but she's doing a lot of things in politics, and turned out she was a conservative. So several, like, a year ago, she reached out to me telling me what she was trying to do in New York because she lives in New York. And we've just briefly talked among that time, but then I saw her all of a sudden standing up there, and I was like, holy crap, that's Kara. Like, it was just... It was just so weird. So Kara, she was also, first of all, she's won the Golden Gloves in boxing.
Wow.
She was also a trainer on The Biggest Loser, the TV show.
I think you might have mentioned this before to me.
I probably have, because it's just the story, which I will not tell on the podcast. The story of our relationship, Kara and I, is very interesting. I'll tell a few little tidbits. I don't know if she would care. Probably not, knowing Kara. But she made me join the unisex wrestling team with her. So I was like wrestling men in my freshman year in college because of Kara.
How'd that work out?
It didn't. I hated it. I'm like, why am I here? And she's like, nobody will come with me. And I'm like, but I don't want to come with you either. Like, why? She's also responsible for me pledging a sorority. She told me, we're going to pledge a sorority together. And I'm like, okay, let's pledge a sorority. Yay. And so we both got bids to a few different sororities. And then we chose where we were going to pledge. And then she dropped out and left me to pledge on my own. One day after pledging, like, Hell Week, which is really not easy, I came back to my room to go to bed, and it was like 10 in the morning, and I hadn't slept in like 3 days. And there was one of like her guy friends was sleeping in my bed.
One of her wrestling partners?
One of her wrestling partners was sleeping in my bed. Well. And I'm like, Kara, get this out of my bed now. Like, some random man was in my bed
get this beast out of here.
Oh Lord, the stories I have about her. She was so
whenever you got, obviously you guys went your separate ways and you're doing your own things, but you whenever you notice each other in public life, do you ever reach out and say, hey, what's up, girl?
We text now. Like, I texted her the other day. I was listening to her speak and I was like, holy crap, Carrie, you're amazing. Like, she's serious. Like, She doesn't play when she's dedicated to something. And I know that because another thing that had happened randomly one time, like, this girl has always just made her way back into my life somehow. It's very strange. But another time I was at like the Long Island Business Leaders Association, like 40 under 40, because I was one of the 40 under 40 when I was doing business on Long Island. And she came in as a speaker to address the group. And I was like, Kara, what are you doing? I haven't seen you in like 15 years, but she keeps on coming back. So yeah, now we text each other now and again, and she asks me, you know, oh, do you know this or do you know about that? And I say, yeah, here, blah, blah, blah. It's really weird. Anyway, big tangent off of your, small world.
Good. Very small world.
Yeah, like, seeing her up there yelling at Nancy Pelosi just made my heart sing, because back when we were in college, I was all about activism and whatever. So it was like, ooh, maybe I had something to do with this.
You probably did in some way.
Yeah, it would be nice. Yeah, but anyway, she dragged me to male wrestling, so there's that.
Okay. Well, as far as the 18th goes, the reason, the stated reason for that, what ended up being a failure, and thankfully so, because most people, the entire crowd was mostly press and FBI undercover, dressed as Antifa with guns on them.
Yeah, I know. I know. I know. The memes that came,
thing we missed.
The memes that came out of that event were hysterical.
Yeah. So thankfully, but regardless, if you just take on face value what it was all about, it's a worthy thing, a worthy cause to bring attention to. You have political prisoners that are not seeing their day in court, that have been locked up for months, indefinitely, for months, and every time they release new footage of inside the Capitol on that day, it looks 100 times less chaotic than your average Black Friday event.
Yeah.
In Target.
Yeah, seriously. I know.
Okay. any security camera footage from Black Friday on Target, at a Target, is worse than January 6th. They should call that Insurrection Day from now on.
Insurrection Day. Well, only if Mark Dice is driving down with a bullhorn.
Yeah. Holy.
So there's that. Then this whole Pompeo thing with Julian Assange.
Yeah.
I'm a little bit skittish on this. I'm not saying that it's not true. I'm just saying it's Yahoo News. And as I was reading it, it is so vague with so few details. I'm like, let's not trust Yahoo News when it says something that can outrage us. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's a source of a source of a source saying that Mike Pompeo wanted to kill Julian Assange. I don't know how I feel about that.
I mean, I don't know either. I had it set aside to read before my show tonight, but regardless of what's in the article that I have not seen yet, I wouldn't be surprised either way. So
I guess I wouldn't be surprised either, because Pompeo never minced words about Assange. But I just I can't see him directly first of all, the CIA leaks happened before when Comey was still around.
Yeah.
And we went into this in detail, not to go into it again, but they reached out. They wanted to give information on who actually hacked the DNC server. James Comey wouldn't accept it and said, forget you, release whatever you want. He did so because James Comey said, forget you, release whatever you want, because James Comey didn't want to know who actually did that. I also saw something interesting, too, on YouTube floating through, Russell Brand saying Donald Trump was actually telling the truth about Russia.
Oh, yeah. I saw that over the weekend, and I actually commented on it, and it got a pretty good amount of likes. And because how did he open it up? He opened it up by saying there is now evidence.
Now
you were all right about Clinton, and there was no Russian collusion. Exactly. That's what I quoted in my comment. I said there is now evidence. But really, however these people get to the party is fine with me, probably fine with the rest of us, but they got to catch up quicker. We really don't have much time left. They're just starting to realize that Russia was a complete fabrication. I mean, that means that they haven't gotten to Kavanaugh yet.
No, I know.
They're so far behind.
Yes. Yes. I want to see what he says. I haven't listened to this. I just saw.
Yeah. Just play like the first minute or something. Yeah, I don't know.
Here we go.
Fast, there's almost no time for history. It seems like years ago that we were hearing that Trump was colluding with Russia, that he wouldn't have won the election without Russia, that his whole presidency was a kind of Putin plot. Well, there's now serious evidence that it was the Clinton campaign and Hillary Clinton acolytes that were directly involved in the generation of what has proven to be a conspiracy. Untrue. Think about how much media you watched. Me, a person who I would think, broadly speaking, is from the left, a liberal, certainly not a Trump-supporting Republican, with respect to those of you that are, I find myself in awe, gobsmacked, flabbergasted and startled by these revelations that Russiagate was a democratic conspiracy.
It's 2021's almost over.
But he's here.
Hey, listen, I'm happy. I really am. But the pace has got to quicken a little bit more. The pace, maybe, I mean, perhaps something as big as this will actually take the governor off of the rest of their considerations. Okay, there has to be that one thing that says, okay, well, if this was a lie, then what else was? Maybe it's this is the Band-Aid coming off for a lot of people where they realize that everything all at once, because they can't take this scandal by scandal or else it's going to take forever.
Yeah.
It can't go one by one. We'll be here forever.
Into the thick of it. Into the thick of it. Into the thick of it. Ugh.
Yes.
Hold on.
Well.
We're jumping out of ice.
Sorry.
Hey, Christmas is coming.
Shush.
Christmas is coming.
Just hearing, I'm still stuck on this Russell Brand thing. Hold on.
Okay, go play. Keep playing.
No, just hearing, he was very respectful. I like that. And, oh, as an aside, by the way, there was some douchebag on, somebody told me on Joe Rogan. What are you doing, Cody? My dogs are up here. There was some douche on Joe Rogan that directed the HBO special talking about me all over Joe Rogan on a couple episodes ago.
Uh-huh.
And it just reminded me of how stupid people can be. Like, yeah. the Joe Rogan podcast and Russell Brand meshed together in my brain. Because as much of Joe Rogan is not there yet, 100, right?
No. Well, I think that quietly he is, but.
You think? You think he's lying about, like, not getting some things? And
I think that he's intentionally obtuse about some things for different reasons why someone like Hillary Clinton is intentionally obtuse. When somebody says, you know, Bleachbit, and did you wipe your servers? And she goes, well, wipe like what? Well, like
with a cloth? So that's Russell.
That's a different type of obtuse. I think that Joe Rogan's trying to preserve his life in other ways, but who knows?
So Russell Brand is sincerely now enlightened about this. I think that is true. That Russell Brand is all of a sudden like, holy F.
Yeah, no, I think it's authentic with Russell Brand, because most of the time he gets into like the ethereal stuff and the hippy dippy stuff, and he stays very fine focused on that. So I don't know.
Didn't he do what? An interview with Candace Owens? They had a long talk.
I don't know. Maybe.
He did.
But, you know, another interview that was really interesting is there's two things that Bill Maher did recently.
Yes. Oh, yes. Go ahead.
Bill Maher on Jimmy Kimmel. I don't know how much time we have left.
We have 6 minutes.
Hold on a second. Pause, please.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir.
Now you're going to see.
I am paused.
This is a mix. This is a mix of a person that you just don't know what is being. I don't know what's an act as far as not being able to put two and two together, keeping things separate, not connecting all the dots, and what is real.
Mm.
But take a listen to this.
All right, here we go.
New York. Now, the reason why this is relevant, I have to cite a survey that was in the New York Times, which is a liberal paper. So
okay, hold on. Wait. A little bit of a preface here. He just announced some tour dates that he was going to be in a few places, Pennsylvania, somewhere else. And then, of course, the last stop was going to be Madison Square Garden in New York. And now he's going to make a point about media, COVID coverage, and all that stuff. Listen to this.
But they were talking about this. The question was, what do you think the chances are that you would have to go to the hospital if you got COVID?
Mm-hmm.
And Democrats thought that was way higher than Republicans. 41% of Democrats, and the answer is between 1% and 5%.
Okay.
41% of Democrats thought it was over 50%. Another 28% thought it was 20 to 49%. So 70% of Democrats thought it was way, way, way higher than it really was. Liberal media has to take a little responsibility for that, for scaring the shit out of people. And
he's such an ass. Still, Jimmy Kimmel. He laughs at everything that's serious, and he kind of stares blankly at things that are kind of funny. But he keeps going with this one.
Because it's much harder for every touring act to sell tickets in blue states.
Oh, interesting.
They're afraid to go out of the house.
I see.
Whereas in red states, it's all good to go.
Uh-huh.
So I just want to say to those people in San Rafael and Pittsburgh and New York, I ain't going to give it to you. It's safe. We're doing everything we can. There's distancing. There's masking. Enjoy. Live life.
You did get it.
Embrace life.
You did get it.
Wait, listen.
I got it after I was vaccinated.
You got it after you were vaccinated, right? And you wouldn't have
had no symptoms. That may be because I was vaccinated, but no. Let's not even get into that, because I know you and your boyfriend, Howard Stern, are very paranoid about this, but it's a little weird that I got it after. But now many, many, many people have had the same situation.
Yes.
Stop there for a second. Mm. So there's an example of going so far and waffling a little bit. Oh, I got it after I was vaccinated, I had no symptoms. Largely asymptomatic virus, no matter what.
Yes. Yes, and they have the people that are saying it. I got sick with COVID. It was the worst thing ever, but it would have been much worse if I wasn't vaccinated. How the F do you know that?
You can't. They have to tell themselves that that would have been the case. So then what about the people who in the entire year before there was a vaccine that got COVID, didn't even know it or thought that they had the common cold, yep, when they got the antibody test and saw that they had it?
I can't believe.
Then what do you, how do they explain it?
I can't wait to go get my antibody test. I'm so excited. I want to see.
But he goes on to talk about the two national anthems, that there should only be one and things. Yeah. He's been going off. So, but still, these things happen from time to time, and you get to watch it.
Because they
Jimmy
know.
Kimmel is such a low, low functioning ass.
Yeah, he is. He basically said all of us should die.
Yeah.
You know, half the country. Just I looked at the CDC's COVID tracker today, just because I haven't looked at it in a while, and looking at the percentage of fully vaccinated adults and thinking to myself, if what your coroner funeral guy said is true, I mean, there's not going to be very many people left.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there's people who have made dire predictions like that, which I can't wrap my head around that logically. And of course, I don't want to wrap my head around that emotionally, because obviously there's so many people in our lives we love who have done this for one reason or another.
Yeah.
And I just don't, this is not something I root for. Howard Stern or Jimmy Kimmel, who would rather people die than be wrong.
Yeah.
You know, they want to be so right about everything that they hope people die so that they look correct. It's sick.
We'll end on that happy note, Frank. How's that? The first show back after a week's hiatus. I missed this.
Yeah. Well, it felt good. I think that we exercised the demons a little bit.
We did. Just like Ace Ventura.
Yes.
You have been listening to the Dark to Light podcast with
Frankie Val on the drums and
Beans. You can hear us every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 2:30 Eastern Time on TuneIn, Stitcher, Apple iTunes, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, and Radio Influence. Oh, and Spotify and RadioInfluence.com. We will see you back here Wednesday. And remember, Friday, Dr. Zelenko will join us for an interview.
Later.
I'm Jerry Petock, CEO of Radio Influence. I just wanted to take a quick moment to say thank you for downloading and subscribing to this podcast. There are a lot of people behind the scenes here at Radio Influence that work hard to keep you entertained day in and day out. If you'd like to get involved and advertise on this program, or you have some show ideas that you'd like to see us add to the Radio Influence family, please email us at contact@radioinfluence.com. We all have crazy schedules, so the fact that you took time out of your busy day to let us entertain you for a while means a lot. Without you, the listeners, we wouldn't exist, so thank you again for downloading and subscribing to this show. Don't forget to check out radioinfluence.com to see what other shows we also have to offer. All of Radio Influence's programming can be found on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, Google Play, and of course, radioinfluence.com.